Radio.
Hello and welcome to CryptoCurrent, the only podcast to bring you beginner and advanced knowledge of cryptocurrency and blockchain, analyses of cryptocurrency markets, and discussions on growing a business within the crypto space. Stay tuned and stay CryptoCurrent.
Hello, everyone. Welcome to another episode of CryptoCurrent. It's Richard, and I'm here today with Adam. And today, we are literally going to be telling you about current events in crypto. So if you haven't gathered yet, when we say stay CryptoCurrent, what we mean by that is to stay up to the current events that are happening within the cryptocurrency and blockchain space. So we have a newsletter that goes out every single day that is sponsored by Rasa, which is an artificial intelligence company. So what our newsletter does, it provides information that is relevant to you in your own interest. And so it will bring you headlines of everything happening in the crypto space, in the crypto realm. So what I'm literally going to do today with Adam is pick a couple of these headlines and just have a conversation. And hopefully you will want to check this out and get some of this information for yourself, as it is all very helpful. So one of our headlines today, we're going to be talking about a Bitcoin ETF. We're going to be talking some Facebook in the crypto space. And we're going to be talking about how the current outlook of the crypto space is looking from more of a technical analysis. Adam's going to take the lead on that. So first, we're going to dive into the Bitcoin ETF. So right now, there's about to be some legislation that's supposed to be passed this Thursday. So as me and Adam are recording this right now, it is August 21st, which means that when this is released, it's going to be August 23rd. So when you hear this, it will have already passed. But Adam and I are going to talk as if it is happening right now. So Adam just got some information about how this could turn out. Adam, do you want to share this with the...
Absolutely, yeah. And I just wanted to clarify real quick, is as we're talking about ETFs, again, this is August of 2018. As we're talking about ETFs, there are, just to be very clear, there are a total of 9 prospective ETFs that have all been submitted for approval that are all due for a decision within the next 6 weeks. And so specifically today, as Richard was mentioning, we're talking about the CBOE ETF. And for those of you who do not know, an ETF is an exchange traded fund. So essentially an ETF in both the stock market and prospectively in cryptocurrency markets, an ETF essentially targets institutional investors and allows them to safely and securely purchase stock in a variety of commodities in which the company through which that ETF is purchased will actually buy physical shares of the stock. So, for example, last December of 2017, there were several futures that went live by both CBOE and CME, where it allowed users to purchase contracts of the prospective future price of Bitcoin, right? To either buy or short that stock. Now, through those future contracts, there were 0 physical copies of Bitcoin that were bought or sold, which means that no matter how much volume is in those future contracts, no matter how many people buy or sell, the price of Bitcoin will not be affected at all. And that's why there's this big push for an ETF within the crypto sphere, because one, it allows institutional investors to invest in Bitcoin through an SEC regulated and compliant and approved pathway. And two, it allows for the price of Bitcoin to actually be affected by this given amount of demand for the ETF. And so again, now back to this Thursday, this is the CBOE future we're talking about. A decision is due for this Thursday. I think there's a lot of speculation within the entire crypto space. I mean, there are certainly people that, well, I'll say there are a lot of people that are hoping for one of these 9 Bitcoin ETFs to be approved, because in theory, it would help pushed the price up as now larger institutional investors are able to purchase said shares of Bitcoin in a way that in theory they weren't doing in the past because it was not regulated or it was not compliant with the SEC, any of the exchanges that you use today to buy Bitcoin.
Well, right. On that same line, one of the headlines that is also in our newsletter was that like the first Bitcoin ETF might bring more volatility. And I know that kind of goes without saying, but I think it's very critical to speak on why that's not necessarily a bad thing.
Well, it isn't that it's a good thing or a bad thing per se. And the reason it goes without saying is because the either approval or denial of these ETFs will have, in my opinion, a very significant effect on the price of Bitcoin, because you have a lot of people that in the past few weeks have been buying Bitcoin in anticipation for an approved ETF. Now, if the ETF is approved, I'm sure that there will inevitably be, at least in the very short term, a pretty significant upward price action on Bitcoin. But the reciprocal, the opposite, is also true. If the ETF is denied, again, there are several ETFs, but as people are watching for one of these nine ETFs to be approved or denied, their decisions, respectively, will have an effect on even just the psychology of the investors that are watching. So, the BT, if any or all of the ETFs are denied, it is very logical to expect a very significant amount of sell pressure to sort of compile on top of Bitcoin. But
we're real quick on that, Adam. So if you go back to July, talking about these Bitcoin ETFs, there was information that came out about Winklevoss, and they brought up some information from over a year ago about their ETF that got denied. And after that information was revealed, you saw drastic decreases in a lot of the crypto prices. So how does this kind of apply back to that?
Right. Well, and to be totally clear, like, let's touch back on the subject. In the last week of July, there were several news outlets, respectable, credible news outlets within the crypto space, that all commented in all published stories that said, breaking news, Winklevoss ETF has been denied by the SEC. And what was so crazy about that, and what leads me, along with several other people that I communicate with in the crypto space, both traders and investors, to believe that that was some form of manipulation by these news outlets, was because that was not a breaking news story. That was not hardly a breaking news story. In fact, that was a denial from the SEC that came a year before this article was published. This is old news. This was something that was not breaking. There were no new news events. There were no new additions to the story. But all of these, again, respected news outlets collectively try to comment and push the story that had already happened. And it would be very, very hard to say that it did not have a significant impact on the prices of cryptocurrency that day.
Definitely, which then brings us to what is about to occur this Thursday.
Right. So this Thursday, as aforementioned, there is a decision that will mandatorily come from the SEC regarding the CBOE Bitcoin ETF. And ICO Journal, which is one of the most well-known, maybe not respectable. Again, I want to say that the information that I'm about to reveal is not my own. I am not able to fact check this. I will also say that the source I'm reading this information from has had a history, not all the time, but has had a history of putting out stories that are less than 100% factual. Regardless, ICO Journal, as of 17 minutes ago, this morning, Tuesday, August 21st, published a story that says, CBOE source, Bitcoin ETF submissions will be denied on Thursday. It then follows up by saying, we have spoken with two of our most trusted sources at the CBOE yesterday, and we inquired about the status of the Bitcoin ETF scheduled to be approved or denied on Thursday, August 23rd. The answer was simple and direct. Both of our sources expect the ProShares Bitcoin ETF as well as the ProShares Short Bitcoin ETF to be denied. The specific reason for the denial was laid out by both individuals in our discussion yesterday, and it goes on to sort of elaborate on the conversation that it had with their allegedly two trusted sources at the CBOE. Now, this is a bit of breaking news. Only time will tell how accurate this either is or isn't. Regardless of the effect of either the approval or denial of this ETF, there are still eight more to come within the perspective 6 weeks. So we will see on Thursday. I personally do not think that a Bitcoin ETF will be approved. I would love to be proved wrong. I really would. I would love to be proved wrong, but I'm not sure the space is ready for it. I think it is a bit premature. I think there are still several things that need to be worked out within the entire crypto markets and the SEC and other regulators before something like this is actually able to take place. Again, I would love to be wrong on this, but that is just my opinion. So,
right. And with that, the SEC, although they are saying they are going to come up with a decision sometime in September, they legally have the right to push this all the way back to sometime in 2019. Also, on the subject of rumors, as Adam just brought up in the news article he brought up, let's talk a little bit about Facebook. So there was a rumor that Facebook was in a partnership with Stellar, trying to do something within crypto development. Now, there's all kinds of things that we're going to talk about with Facebook today, but we're going to start here. I personally believe that Facebook is on the brink of doing something big within the crypto space. There's also been some rumors that they have been looking at doing some sort of acquisition of Coinbase. All that to say that Facebook is trying to make a play in the crypto space. They're trying to be as low-key as possible with what they're doing, but there are all kinds of subtle hits or subtle hints, I should say, that Facebook is actively going hard at crypto and blockchain.
So, yeah, let's touch on a couple points within that subject. Facebook, one of the C-level executives of Facebook, had previously been dual serving on both Facebook's board as well as Coinbase's board. 2 weeks, that individual resigned from Coinbase very publicly, which sort of told the public and all those paying attention that there may now be a conflict of interest at stake. Additionally, in May, there were several articles published by Business Insider that Facebook was reportedly looking into creating its own cryptocurrency, with the company going as far as its head of Messenger, David Marcus, publicly saying that he was looking into blockchain applications within the company. Now, what's interesting about this is, one, let's go back to January of this year. Facebook removed the ability for its users to create cryptocurrency ads on its platform. This was a move that was shared by Google as well. And at the time, it seemed that Facebook was very actively going against cryptocurrency, that it was, in essence, betting against cryptocurrency, blockchain, and its applications as a whole. Now, again, in May, that previous ban was allegedly revoked, in theory, allowing users to now resume cryptocurrency ad publications. Now, I say allegedly with a very deliberate purpose. Richard and I, over the past, 6-7 weeks now, have been very, very actively trying to buy and publish ads on cryptocurrency Facebook profile.
Yeah. it's been crazy. So Facebook's been ducking me for about 2 months now, and it's been interesting. So going back to late June, early July, I send a message to Facebook letting them know there's three things that happen when you send an ad for Facebook under anything with cryptocurrency, crypto, anything, right? It sends up this flag that says like, hey, this ad probably won't go through. You need to send it for review. So, okay, did that. And then they just send me this like block paragraph of like some jargon that says, you do not comply with the cryptocurrency and finance, blah, 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 blah. And I was like, look, I'm not promoting any coins. I'm not selling anything. I am trying to educate our public. So then they send this link to say, okay, here's where you can apply to be a verified cryptocurrency ads manager. So I fill out the request literally the same day. I don't hear back from them for a week. So then I go to their customer service, talk to this robot basically for about an hour. Then I finally talk to a human being via Messenger and sends me his email. And then I am in communication for him for 2 weeks, in which he tells me that Facebook has then been ducking him and then sends him the exact response they sent me. Now, Facebook has this thing where they make you verify your website, which you have to go in and put like this hard code in the back end of your website and all this other kind of stuff. Did all that. I've literally done every step, looked within their entire code of conduct, and we meet all the requirements. Yet, Facebook will not respond.
Time and time again, our ads are denied. Even after Facebook had publicly said, you know what, cryptocurrency ads are back. They are allowed. Go for it. So all this, I think, leads both Richard and myself to believe that there is more going on behind the scenes in regards to Facebook and cryptocurrency than they are letting on. Specifically, I think it is of sound logic to assume that Facebook is both, one, looking into cryptocurrency and blockchain applications, two, looking into a way to integrate it into its platform, and more importantly, three, wants to make sure that it has total oversight in a way that's comparable to owning the monopoly on Facebook cryptocurrency, both usage, ad publication, and et cetera. I mean, Facebook
content,
everything, you know, it's like Facebook has now a bit of a dirty history with its sort of overuse of oversight and its lack of boundary with data publication, storage, and sharing. It doesn't seem illogical to assume that Facebook is very seriously trying to keep its cryptocurrency affairs off the radar until it is able to launch and utilize whatever those plans are, while also keeping any other cryptocurrency activity on Facebook in the interim banned and out of reach.
Exactly. And to we kind of got a confirmation recently from one of our recent interviewees, James Oliver. He was telling us about one of his friends in the crypto space who had went and built this crypto page and this crypto community that had thousands of people that were interacting and speaking on everything crypto and blockchain. And then he wakes up one day and all of a sudden, not only is his Facebook page deleted, his personal account has been wiped. And Facebook goes dark on him. He talks to customer service. He talks to all these different people, gets no response and has still had no response. He's now on Twitter trying to make people aware that Facebook not only did this to him for whatever reason, but after getting this confirmation on Facebook doing that to him, it makes sense why Facebook hasn't gotten back to us. So this isn't just like a conspiracy theory by no means. Like, there is hard evidence showing that Facebook is making a major play in this space.
There are a lot of moving parts that imply something suspicious with Facebook is going on in regards to cryptocurrency, for sure.
Absolutely. So moving into the last headline that we kind of want to talk on, which isn't so much a headline, but rather an overview of what is going on in the crypto markets and crypto space. Adam's going to dive into a little of what the current outlook is and what's been going on.
So, right, real quick, and this will be relatively brief. Bitcoin as of current time.
Also, this is not financial advice. This is purely information.
Yes. So Bitcoin at present time is trading at $6,424 on Bitfinex, as well as $6,418 on Coinbase. Now, there are two other metrics which I, as well as many other traders, use to help tell some of the story of what is happening in the market in regards to Bitcoin, which are the amount of Bitcoin longs versus the amount of Bitcoin shorts on the popular Bitfinex exchange. So typically, Bitcoin longs drastically outnumber the amount of Bitcoin shorts. It's worth noting that it is not possible for every Bitcoin long to be reported with these statistics, because these statistics are only coming from the amount of Bitcoin longs that users have purchased in their what are called margin accounts. Now, there are several people, many, many people, that have Bitcoin and may have bought it that are not using this exchange, that are just holding that, not at a leverage position, and those would not show up in the longs. However, the Bitcoin shorts, those statistics are 100% accurate, and it is impossible to take a short position without this data coming up through Bitfinex. Now, Bitcoin shorts today are at 39,062 aggregately, plus or minus a few, you know, 5 or 10. Bitcoin longs today are at 25,845. Now, that is a huge disparity in the amount of shorts versus longs. Now, this is an unusual ratio of shorts to longs. There are certainly times where longs and shorts compete with one another. It is more rare that shorts outweigh longs in the proportions that they are today. Now, I will say that the last time there were this many active Bitcoin short orders in the market was on April 11th. Now, for those of you who don't know, on April 11th, Bitcoin shorts were the highest they had ever been, and they topped out around 40,000, which is essentially right where they are at today. Now, what this meant was that there were so many people that were confident that Bitcoin price was going to fall. That's what a short order implies. There were so many people that were so confident that the Bitcoin price was going to fall that they were willing to load up more and more short orders and continue to add to their positions. Now, just at the moment that Bitcoin shorts essentially topped out, that morning around 5 a.m. Central Standard Time, there was what is called a short squeeze, where Bitcoin price was pushed upwards through a large influx of buying pressure, which both moved the price of Bitcoin up as it normally would, but it also, because of the high number of shorts, it also had an effect on the short sellers, which caused them to close their positions, and some were even liquidated. So it caused them to close their positions. And in order to close a short position, you actually have to buy those shares back. So let's say you are short 30 Bitcoin and price goes up more than you are comfortable with and you are now losing money. In order to close the position and cut your losses, you actually have to buy those 30 shares of Bitcoin back into the market. And so this was done, but on a widespread level. As the Bitcoin price moved up past where many people were confident that it would not rise above, they then had all of these short orders that closed their positions, which further drove the price up. And that was actually the largest trading volume in an hour that Bitcoin had ever seen to date. There was more than $1 billion that traded hands on Bitcoin within that hour. Now, that day, it was April 12th, we saw a rise from $6,700 to roughly $7,800 within 1 hour. That's almost a 20% move in 1 hour. That's, for Bitcoin, that is absolutely huge. Now, in the prospective weeks to come, we saw Bitcoin move from $7,700 to an eventual $9,999 on May 6th. So that short squeeze event had a very, very drastic effect on the market for the coming weeks. I mean, Bitcoin price went up nearly 70%. The prices of some altcoins went up to much larger factors. For example, EOS went up roughly 462% in a matter of 42 days. Ripple went up 112% in a matter of 41 days. You know, so it had a very drastic impact on this market. So now we sit here again with shorts at a previously all-time high. Obviously, a lot of people are confident that price is going to go down. There could be a short squeeze coming. I think a lot of people are anticipating, and it's certainly something worth considering. Now, truthfully, one of two things could happen. Shorts could either be very, very right. There could be insider information that some of these people have that is causing a lot of active short orders to be opened. Or they could be wrong in the same way that they were in April, and another short squeeze could be underway. We'll have to see. Only time will tell.
Only time will tell. Today, we kept y'all cryptocurrent. We want to, again, let y'all know that there's a ton of information out that comes out daily. This is completely just the tip of the iceberg of just some of the current events that are happening in the crypto space. We want you to stay educated. We want you to be well-knowledged in everything happening in crypto. So if I can leave you with a parting gift, go sign up for our newsletter. You will get all the information you would ever want to know in a quick daily digest of everything crypto and blockchain. So again, Adam, thanks for another awesome episode, and we look forward to everyone joining us again next week.
Thanks, guys. See you next week.
Hi, everyone. Thanks for listening to another episode of CryptoCurrent. For more information on this episode and all of our episodes, please visit us at www.crypto-current.co. Stay up to date with the latest news in cryptocurrency by signing up for our newsletter. You will receive a daily email Monday through Sunday that is personalized and curated content specific to you and your interest, powered by artificial intelligence. Get your tickets today. We are throwing the first cryptocurrency and blockchain conference in New Orleans in March 2019. You can get your tickets today at www.crypto-current.co.
This has been another episode of Crypto Current, bringing you one step closer to becoming a crypto and blockchain aficionado. We look forward to giving you the latest in crypto news and analyses next week. Stay Crypto Current.
Please use available exits now.